Glory to God. There's nobody greater to sing about than Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. There is none like Jesus Christ. There's none like true Bible-believing Christianity. Say it out there in a street corner. Don't want to try to give. We're not out there to give religion. I wouldn't give you a dime for religion. Religion will do nothing for you. What I'm talking about this morning and what I've said out there on the street corners numerous times in other places is that God desires a relationship. So it's all about a relationship. You see, I'm not in church this morning because I'm made to come to church. I'm in church this morning because I want to be in church because of the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. There's none like Him. You know what this world sees and what the majority of this world has seen through the years is religion and not a relationship. They've seen religion but not a relationship, and that's why the majority of people do not want to come to church, because they look at it as just a religion when in reality it's not. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Not a religion, but a relationship. If you take your Bible this morning, we're going to continue on looking at the kings in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. We'll be looking at this morning at a man named Uzziah. Uzziah has taken over after the reign of his father Amaziah, which we read about in chapter number 25. And now, because of his father's mistakes, now his dad strived to live for God, and we're going to see that here in a moment. Uzziah, his daddy, Azariah, he did strive to live for God, but the Bible shows that he didn't do it with a perfect heart. And it ended up catching up with him to where there was a conspiracy against him to take his own life. And that conspiracy came true and took the life of his daddy, Amaziah. But I want you to look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says. It says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, Lord, to take away our sins through your blood that you shed there. You were buried and you rose again the third day, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we know that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask for your help here this morning. Lord, please lead God and direct. Deal with hearts, deal with souls. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive what's in this book, Lord, and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, please give wisdom and guidance now. We ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 1, that Uzziah takes over the throne room and becomes king instead of his daddy Amaziah at 16 years old. Can you imagine becoming a king at 16 years old? Not just the king of a small nation, but he is now a king of a big nation. And not just a big nation, a nation that is God's nation. And now at 16 years old, it's been laid upon his lap to go forward for the cause of God and the examples that were set before him. The Bible says here that Uzziah starts off right, but just like his father, he falls short in the end. This is due to the fact that just like his father, Amaziah, he doesn't serve God and follow him with a perfect heart. Take your Bible and look back over at 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and look at verse number 2. This is the beginning of his daddy's reign. And look what the Bible says about Amaziah in chapter 25 and verse number 2. "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." Brethren, I want to try to get across, and it's going to come back and it's going to get Uzziah. What's going to get Uzziah is that he doesn't do what his dad, he doesn't do better than his father. His father loved God. His father tried to serve God, but he didn't serve his God with a perfect heart. Now that word perfect does not mean sinless. That word perfect means with a whole heart given to God. Amaziah thought that he could serve God halfway. And you can't serve God halfway and come out better on the other end. It's just not going to work for you. And here we find Uzziah, that he comes to reign here at 16 years old, But take your Bible and look over at 2 Kings chapter 5. Hold your hand there because we're going to come right back to 2 Chronicles. But 2 Kings also gives us an account of Uzziah. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 15. 2 Kings chapter number 15. And look at verse number 1. 2 Kings 15 verse 1. Here we get another view of Uzziah. And look what the Bible says here about him. 2 Kings chapter 15. I'm going to write 1. And verse number 1. The Bible says this. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. But look what the Bible says in verse 3 and 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. So Uzziah comes in as king, but just like all of the other kings that were before him, that came before him, these kings didn't come in and take away the high places that were established and the groves where the people of God were going to worship. They did some right things for the Lord, but they didn't clear out what was deep-seated in the nation. And I ask you a question. This question is to those that are saved in here this morning. Is there something deeply seated within your life that you have yet to give over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there something deep within you that you have yet to say, Lord, I'll let you have this as well, but you keep it in your life and it's a high place and it's a place that you ought not to be going to. It's a place where you're worshiping at and God sees it and God's saying, I want you to get rid of that high place in your life. You see, you can never have that true power with God until you get rid of all those high places and secret groves that you go to. You'll never get to victory. You might get some progress here and there, but for the most part, most of the time, it's going to be going backwards. Uzziah fails to take away the high places where the people of God are going to worship. Brethren, I'm going to say this this morning. A preacher needs to preach about high places. A preacher or a pastor or an evangelist, they get an opportunity to preach and God so directs them, they need to preach about high places. Because if you don't preach about the high places, eventually the high places will creep into the church. And you see it today. It's not this church, thank the Lord, but in other churches that are out there today, the high places of the world have crept right into the church, and the church, for the most part, is no different than the world. And that's why most of society today, when you ask them out to the church, they say thanks, but no thanks, and I don't blame them. Brethren, I don't want Christian rock music. I'll just listen to the real thing. I don't want Christian hip-hop or country or whatever. I'll just listen to the real thing. But you see, today's Christianity wants to have the world in this hand, and they think that they can have God in this hand and walk together. And it's not going to happen. God's not going to grab a hold of that hand. Brethren, when I was growing up, I saw hypocrisy when I grew up in the church. When I got in the military and I got away for a little while, I didn't want nothing to do with it. I saw the hypocrisy. Why would I want to go to church? The people I spent time with outside the church did the same things that the world did. Go to the same movies, listen to the same music. Why would I waste my Sunday morning to go to church then? Brethren, there ought to be a distinction if you name the name of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a distinction in your life to where the world looks at you and says, there's something different about you. Why don't you do some of these things? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. And it's not rules and regulations. It's from a heart. Brethren, it's a desire of my heart this morning to do all I can to please Jesus Christ. Because one thing I know is for sure, that at some point, I'm going to take my last breath. I don't know when that day might be. I was listening to a brother in the Lord up in Wisconsin, And he gave a sad story. I didn't realize there's a church up there in Wisconsin, and they were this past 4th of July last year. They went to they have a little get together as a church, and then afterwards they all go to a certain parking lot out there in what is out there in Wisconsin, and they all sit together there and they enjoy the fireworks. And it was a perfect night this year, I guess, and they were getting ready to enjoy the fireworks. Actually, the fireworks were already going on. The grand finale was getting ready to take place, and they're sitting there enjoying the fireworks, and all of a sudden this SUV starts running through the crowd. And it ran over a brother and sister that went to that church. Young people in the church. One of them helped in the school, and the other one helped teach music. And the SUV out of nowhere just come through and ran through that crowd and ran those two young people over, killing the son instantly and severely injuring his sister. She ended up living. But I bring that up this morning to say we just do not know when we'll take that last breath and cross over to the other side. We think in our minds, brother, we think in our minds that I'm just going to have tomorrow, I'm going to have next week, I'm going to have next month, I'll be here next year, in 5 years I'll do this, and in 10 years I'll be here, and you don't even know if you have this afternoon. You don't even know if you have this afternoon. And so I say that to get us to think about what are we doing for God? Because before we know it, even if we get to live to 80, 90, 100, at some point we're going to find ourselves in a bed somewhere in a 6x6 or however large a bed is, and we're going to be laying there and we're going to get ready to pull out to go to the other side. And I'm telling you, in those moments, if our mind is lucid, the only thing we're going to realize that matters is what we did for Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to matter. It ain't going to matter what kind of cars I had. It's not going to matter what kind of house I had. It's not going to matter how much education I had or what job I had. All that's going to matter in those moments is getting ready to cross over to that other side. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. But we find here with Uzziah that he does some good things for God, but he falls short in the end. Look back over here at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and look at verse number 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 2. So he becomes king at 16 years old, and the Bible says in verse number 2, he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. You see, what we got to realize, brethren, that we have influence over people. No man, the Bible says, that no man lives and dies to himself. We affect one another whether we realize it or not. And if you start coming into this church more and we grow closer together as a church, the more and more the effect that we'll have on one another. And no man lives and dies to himself. You might think, well, nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. No, you're wrong, my friend. People do care about you. People do think about you. And people do pray for you. And none of us lives and dies to himself. And we find here that Uzziah is influenced by his daddy. If any man's in here this morning and you got children, you influence your children. What you put the emphasis on, your children will put the emphasis on. What you do, I'm talking about when your kids are younger. When they get out of the house, it's a different story. I'm talking about if they're in your home, a child will put the emphasis on what daddy puts the emphasis on. What the daddy loves, the child's going to love. What the daddy watches, the child's going to watch. What the dad listens to, the child's going to listen to. What dad goes and where dad follows, the child's going to go and follow. And here we find Uzziah. He does exactly what his dad does, but it's not good enough because his dad fell short as well. Because his dad didn't serve God with a perfect and a whole heart. This is going to be a two-part message, and I won't get to the second part till next week. But I don't think there's any parent in here this morning that would want to have their child get leprosy. I don't think there's a parent in here this morning that you say that you would desire or pray for your child to have leprosy. It's a horrible disease. But Amaziah's actions helped lead his son Uzziah to get leprosy towards the end of his life. Because he didn't put God first. And I ask you this question this morning, brethren. Are you putting God first in your life? Is God first in your life? Is he first? Or where would you rank him if he's not number one? God wasn't first in his daddy's life. And we're going to find out that God's not going to be first in his life either. Verse number 5. And he sought God. This is a good part of Uzziah. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So the Bible says here about Uzziah that he does well here at the beginning. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. So when Zechariah was around, Uzziah does right and he seeks God. This individual who's leading and guiding him spiritually has understanding in the visions of God. That means God's revealing things to Zechariah. Zechariah is bringing those things to Uzziah. Uzziah is following in that. And the Bible says, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And we're going to read through that here this morning. God did make this man to prosper physically. But I want you to look at something here in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to address this thing. Brethren, it is not the time for us to get rich. Brethren, there are certain denominations and entities out there that are Christians that put forth a prosperity gospel. That if you're doing right by God, then you'll be blessed. And if you're not doing right by God, then you won't be blessed. But they supposing that gain is godliness. And gain is not godliness. All right? Look, if you're saved, our mindset is not to how much I can get now in this life. That's against scripture. And I'm going to show you another verse. Listen, if you're saved, you ought not to be living your life of how much money you can get into your bank account, the fanciest car that you can drive, the fanciest house that you can get. That does not equal spirituality. Actually, spirituality is just the opposite of it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong if God blesses you with something. Listen, God might bless you with an inheritance. God might bless you with a vehicle. God even might bless you with a house. But then God expects you to use those things for his glory and his honor and not for your own lust and prosperity. Does it make sense? If all of a sudden I found an inheritance and somebody left me $1 million, it's not for me to go out here and buy the fanciest house I can buy now. If my mindset is spiritual, I'm going to ask God, Lord, how can I bless others with the money that you just gave me? I'm not going to go and just try to live the easy life now because I got $1 million in my bank account. I'm going to try seeking God and say, God, what can I do with this money for you? Because we seek a heavenly country, brethren. Take your Bible, look over at Proverbs chapter 23. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. There's spiritual blessings. And we ought to be prosperous spiritually. And God desires for us to prosper spiritually. But look over here at Proverbs chapter 23. And look at verse number 1. Proverbs 23, look at verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Look what he says in verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. And then what it says next right after that. Look at verse 4. Labor not to be rich. And you're going to say, why? Well, it gives you the answer. Right? Cease from thine own wisdom. You know what this world's going to tell you? This world's going to tell you to be as rich as you possibly can, be as prosperous as you possibly can, get all that you possibly can, and then when you come to the end of your life, it means nothing. Brethren, I've been to a number of funerals, and I've said this before, there's yet to be a funeral I've been to at the gravesite to where they've had a U-Haul truck with everything that they got, and they're getting ready to dump it in there with them. Not been one to where whatever that individual has is what was been given to them, and they didn't give it to themselves because they're now gone and they passed on into eternity, and there's never been a U-Haul truck there at the gravesite say they're going to take this with them. You see, the Egyptians tried that thousands of years ago. They took the pharaohs and they laid them in the tombs and they embalmed them and they put all these riches, and sometimes they put servants in there and people in there, and they said, you can take this with you to the afterlife. And guess what? When they excavated it and the archaeologists came in thousands and thousands of years later, guess what? All that stuff is still there. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So what are you doing with your time? Look back over here at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So we find here that Uzziah seeks God. He tries to follow the Lord as long as Zechariah is alive. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 6. And he went forth, this is Uzziah, and he warred against the Philistines and brake down the walls of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. He's doing good. He's warring against the enemy. He's tearing down their walls. He's building cities. He's on the right track. Verse 7. And God helped him. Because against the Philistines and against the Arabians and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Mehumans. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. This man's on the right path. God's helping him. He's fighting against the enemies. His enemies are giving him gifts, and he strengthened himself exceedingly. Verse number 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. He built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He was quite the farmer. He's out there digging wells, he's got cattle, he's planting crops, he's got vines, he's fortifying walls, he's building towers, he's digging wells. Verse number 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against his enemy. So not only is he building up Jerusalem and building up Judah and fighting for them, he's got an army that now is helping him against his enemies. And he provides armor for them and weapons. Look at verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. He's got quite the army going on. He's got quite the fortification going on. He's battling. He's growing things. He's digging wells. He's building towers. Verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. This man is doing something for God. We look at it, and we think he is on the right track for the Lord. He's out there destroying the enemy. He's building towers. He's fortifying walls. He's tearing down the enemy's walls. He's a farmer. He's got cows. He's got vines. He's got it all going on. He's got an army. He's training that army. He's given the weapons that his army needs. He's got men that are inventing weapons to protect the city. Some good things he's got going on. The problem is that Uzziah begins to trust in his own strength. Look what the Bible says in the latter part of verse 15. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But look what verse 16 says. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Brethren, chapter 26 and verses 16 through 21. From verses number 6 all the way through to verse number 15. Uzziah is on the right track. He's doing some of the right things. But one thing you got to be careful for, brethren, and this can only be taught, hopefully beginning in the home, and then if it's not taught in the home, God help us to teach it to us. Brethren, we need to be careful that we don't begin to trust in our own selves and not trust God. You know what's one of the dangers with fame? Is you begin to think that you did it. You know what's one of the dangers of getting a name about you? Is you think that you did it to where you got yourself a name. Not really realizing that the whole time it's God that's giving you the ability to do anything that you can do. There's nothing that we can do without God giving us the ability to do it. You say, well, preacher, I got a mind. Well, who gave you the mind? And where did your mind come from? You see, you didn't create yourself. God created you. Your mother and your father, they came together. And that's another fact, is that nobody's here without a father and a mother. I don't need to go much further than that. But you can't get a child unless you got a man and you got a woman. Even if you want to try to manipulate something, you still need a man and you still need a woman. That's common sense. Common sense. But Uzziah began to get his name about himself. He was strong and his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, brethren, there is a grave danger when made strong by your own power and might or that of others. A lifted up heart equals destruction. I'm going to close out here this morning. But I'm going to close out with something that's so dangerous that brings destruction quickly sometimes. Sometimes it takes years. But to me, it's the most, one of the most, if not the top most dangerous thing that we got to deal with. And it's not the devil, though I think he's behind it. The thing that I think most individuals have the hardest time dealing with is pride. Pride is behind all other sins. You know what's worse than murder? Pride. Because I believe murder comes from pride. It grows out of pride. Thieves grow out of being a thief, or stealing grows out from pride. All of our worst, listen, crimes that we can commit against God, fornication, adultery, false witness, listen, it all comes forth from pride. If you can deal with pride in your life, you can begin to really grow in the things of God. And I will tell you this, that you will never get saved until pride is dealt with in your life. I don't care how many prayers you pray. I don't care who prays over you. If you have never dealt with pride in your life, my friend, you're never saved. Because God, listen, the Bible says God resisteth the proud. But who does he give grace to? The humble. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You're never receiving the grace of God until you humble yourself down. Never. It's not going to come. Because God resists the proud, and he'll only give grace to those that are humble. Uzziah begins to get lifted up with his pride. You know what the definition of pride is? inordinate self-esteem. I mean, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And isn't this what we're pumping into this generation's minds? That you're wonderful, you're great, and you can do no wrong? It's like we got an IV tube right into their brain saying, you're great. All day long, you're great, you're wonderful, we love you, there's nothing you can do wrong. You can do anything you want to do. No, you can't. Somebody needs to go in one of these elementary schools and tell them, you can't do anything you want to do. Brethren, I cannot fly a fighter jet. Well, I could try to fly it, I might not land it. Let me just put that there. Right? I might get it up in the sky, but probably I'm not getting it down safely. Brethren, one of the reasons I can't fly fighter jets is because of my eyes. You need to have specific eyesight to be able to fly a fighter jet. Well, you can just be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. How many young men out there today in a couple hours is sitting in their living room and they're saying, I want to do that. I want to play NFL football. Majority, 99.9999% of the young men out there today will never make it to that. Because they're not good enough. And yet they give their whole life to it thinking, if I could, my friend, no, you cannot do everything you want to do. Brethren, I couldn't be an NBA star if I wanted to be an NBA star. It would be a bad show. Again, I could get out there and try to perform, but the performance is going to be laughable. If they're really playing against me, and I love playing basketball. I like playing basketball. I could shoot halfway decent. But you put me in with those men there, and they're going to make me look like a fool. I couldn't be that if I wanted to be that. Brethren, but one thing I can be is everything God wants me to be. Do you hear me as I close out here this morning? You probably can't be a lot of what this world says you can be. And in reality, they're just lying to you to make you feel good. Brother, you know where it used to break my heart? It used to make me mad. When we'd have groups, when I used to work, listen, some of you don't know me, but before I came up here, I was down in South Carolina. For 6 years, I worked as a chaplain in the Department of Juvenile Justice. And we'd have groups come in to some of those young men and say, you can be anything you want to be, you just got to put your mind to it. No, they need God. No, they need God. Look, I took that man over there, I took him to my office, I got a printout, I can take you right now, I got like 6 print-offs in my office right now, and I'm going to try to write letters to these men. These are all young men that I work with, and guess where they're all at right now? Prison. Every one of them. One young man I had a very close relationship with, and he was doing good with the structure he had. He got his GED, he went there and started taking college classes. They even did a little film on him because they were so proud of him. And I got thinking about it though, when they throw him back in the same area that he came from, he's gonna fall right back in the same traps again. And he needed Jesus Christ. And guess what? He went back home, went to college for a little while, and now he's serving a prison sentence. How do you tell a young man, now I'm not excusing this, but you explain this to a young man that's out there on the street saying, well, you just need to work a job. You need to get out there and work a job. And well, guess what, my friend? You can't get many jobs with a GED that's going to pay the bills. And he looks at you and says, I'd love to work that job, chap. But if I sell a little bit of drugs over here, I can make $500 in a week rather than $100 a week working at McDonald's. And how am I going to argue with him? And I'm not excusing what he did. But he's trying to feed his little brother and sister back home. Brethren, you can't be just what you want to be. But you can be everything in Jesus Christ that He desires for you to be. And if you can get that across to somebody and they genuinely get saved, I don't care what circumstance they're in. I don't care where they're at. The Lord Jesus Christ will never leave them nor forsake them. And if they follow the Lord God, even though it might be hard, God can get them out of any situation they're in. I believe that. I don't believe it's going to be easy. I never said it would be easy. But I believe God could get them out of it. Brother, I believe if somebody's sincere and they love Jesus Christ and they're saved, God will provide opportunities for them to get out of the situation that they're in. It might not be what they want, but God will get them out of the situations they're in. I had a young man, Knowledge Sumter. Some of you know that story. Knowledge Sumter knew him from the time he was a little kid. His mama had gotten shot and killed and apparently a drug deal gone bad. And I also worked with the man that killed his mama, Dante Stokes, who killed his mama. But this young little man didn't have a mama. His dad was in prison. And so he was in a neighborhood where we lived, and he'd come by all the time. We played basketball, spent time with him. He ended up getting in trouble, going to a juvenile center. Saw him there. Started working with him in a juvenile center. Tried to give him the gospel. Invited him out to church. Tried to work with him. He gets out of the juvenile center, had his GED, getting ready to do a construction job. And he said, keep going. I remember he came over to my house. He says, Mr. Chris, I'm trying to get my life right. I got a girlfriend. She's getting ready to have a kid. It's my kid. I want to do right by this child. I want to do right. Here's my phone number. I'm going to try to do right. I said, well, you do it, Knowledge. I'm here for you. If you need anything, you let me know. And one night on a Friday night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, who in the world's at my door 2 o'clock in the morning? Here's this young man at my door. Go out there. I said, Knowledge, what are you doing? He's like, man, I don't have nowhere to go tonight. I don't got nowhere to go tonight. You know, God will put you in situations sometimes to see if you're going to practice what you preach. I said, Knowledge, I said, you got anywhere to go? He said, maybe my aunt will let me stay with her. So I got in the car and we drove over to where his aunt was at. She said, Knowledge, you can't stay here. You know, if your uncle comes by, he's gonna hurt me if you come by. If he sees you here, you can't stay here. So that young man gets back in my car, I had nowhere to go. So I took him back home and I told Eliana, I said, Ellie, you're gonna have to get you out your room, going with your brothers. I'm going to give him your bed tonight. So now there's a shower if you want to get cleaned up. Here's some clothes. So I went to my bed that night. Here I got a young man I know, probably got drugs in his bag, probably got a gun in his bag. But God's looking to say, well, you're going to practice what you preach. And that's what's missing in our churches today. We don't practice what we preach. We got a form of godliness. We got a form of religion. But when it comes down to where the rubber hits the road, we go the other way with it. Because we're prideful. We're proud. He woke up the next morning. I was sleeping in that bed and I said, Lord, I said, if I got to adopt him, I'll adopt him. He gets up the next morning. I said, Knowledge, I said, here it is. If you're going to stay here, you got to get your license. You got to get a job. You can stay here as long, but you're going to have to do some things. You can't just stay here and ride the system. That's another problem we got in our world today is we let people in our lives and they just ride the system when you need to kick them out to the street. Because you're not letting them hit rock bottom. We got too many parents today, they're enabling their children. Grown children in their 30s and 40s still sitting at home doing nothing. And then they say, get out of my house. If you're not going to get a job and you're not going to do right and you're not going to help this home, get out there on the street. And you're only hurting them. You're not helping them. You're only making it worse for them. So I told Knowledge, I said, Knowledge, I said, listen here. I said, you're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to get your license. But listen, I'll even try to help you start taking college courses if you want, because they were offering them for free. I said, listen, I'll drive, but you have got to show the initiative and you got to stick with it. He said, yes, sir, I'll think about it. Yes, sir. Spent that day, Sunday, went to church. Sunday came home from church. He said, Mr. Chris, I got to talk to you. I said, oh. She went out there in the yard, talked for about a half hour. He said, Mr. Chris, I got to go into North Charleston and take care of some things. I said, knowledge. I said, you at a crossroads. You at a crossroads. He said, I know, Mr. Chris, but I got to go take care of this. I got to go take care of this. And he walked away. And I never saw him again. Because 2 days later, he got shot and killed. Brethren, I got a question for you. Do you practice what you preach? Or has pride got a hold of you? Has pride got a hold of you? You see, the dangers of pride is that you begin to trust in your own wisdom and strength, just like Uzziah did. The dangers of pride is it produces shame. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but the lowly is wisdom. With pride, one gets brought down low. I'm going to close with this verse this morning. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs 29. And look at verse number 23. Proverbs 29, 23. What this world needs to see today, brethren, is the life of Jesus Christ lived through us. This world today needs to see the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look here at Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. God desires for us to be humble in spirit. If you continue to live in pride, eventually, it's going to bring you low. Let's close with these verses, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Look what the Bible says here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15. You know what our prayer should be? Now I'm talking to those that are saved this morning. You know what your prayer, what our prayer should be? It's for God to soften our hearts. That God would just soften our hearts. Brother, I look out my window from my house, and me and Melanie are talking about, please keep Brother Lambert in prayer. He was in the hospital the other night. He's out now. I was driving to the hospital down there in Allentown. I was thinking, Lord, how many people are in this area? I'm only one man. I can only do so much. But do you have a burden? You have a burden this morning? Or are you just cold and just going through the motions? Do you have a burden when you drive down the streets and you just see people walking? Do you ever think about where they're going to spend eternity? Does it ever cross your mind possibly of the little kids that might be out here that don't have food today? Or the homeless man that's living underneath the bridge. Now, I'm not saying you can influence them all, and I'm not saying that all of them are to come to Jesus Christ. I'm saying, though, is your heart soft? Does it bother you? Or is it your heart grown so cold that you don't even really pay attention to it no more? You just drive or just walk. You see, the Bible says Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, He had compassion on them. And that same Jesus in John chapter 6, when those 5,000 that he fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, when they came there, they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them, and he knew that he was going to have to deal with them later on the other side of the lake. But at that moment, Jesus had compassion on them. Is there compassion in your heart this morning? Is there compassion? Is there a softness? Is there a humility? Is your heart broken before God for what we see going on around us? Brethren, I believe in my heart that a majority of mankind is going to reject Jesus Christ. I believe the majority of mankind is going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Narrows the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it, and many take that broad way which leads to destruction. I understand that. I get that. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you look out here and love individuals as a soul and have a heart to give them the gospel? Now, what they do with that, that's between them and God. But do you at least have a heart and a desire to try to reach those that Jesus Christ brings across your path? Is your heart softened, or has it become hardened by this dark, cold world? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Are you shining as that light in this crooked and perverse nation? Are you holding forth the words of life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you provide us. Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd soften my own heart, Lord. Lord, soften my heart, dear God, even more. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd walk humbly with you. Lord, help us to do as Paul tried to tell the church there at Philippi. Lord, to hold forth the words of life. Dear God, that we would stand firm, Lord, that we'd be harmless. We'd be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, dear God, in this crooked and perverse nation that we live in. Lord, help us to put forth the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know there's people out there today that have been blinded. They've been blinded by the enemy. But Lord, help us to stand as a light and a beacon for you. So, Lord, help us this morning, we pray, dear God. And, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, dear God, they've never known the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never repented and turned to you through faith by grace, Lord. Lord, help them to see truly where they stand with you, Father. God, I pray, Lord, as you said the Holy Spirit would do, that he'd bring conviction and deal with the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. So, Lord, I pray, Father, if somebody here this morning doesn't know you as their Savior, has never been born again, Lord, I pray you make it plain and clear to them, and they'd see clearly where they stand with you. So, Lord, help us this morning, dear God. Help us as we go out these doors, Lord, to be obedient to you. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise, and we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.